Times you try to second guess, why did they pick the Saturday in this second week to give us this message in the gospel and in the first reading of God's mercy and forgiveness? Probably because as the grace of Lent works in the people who are taking it seriously, they begin to realize they have sins to repent for. And as the Holy Spirit enlightens them and helps them, they overcome their self-satisfaction and see their sin. And so we have this text from Jesus. The first reading, who is like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt. That's the first reading from Micah. The remarkable thing about God's forgiveness. And so we're given this story from our Lord to mediate to us a sense, if there's one person in this world we can always go to and always be forgiven, it's God. And so that's why this text is here. The Pharisees are a bit disturbed by this sort of openness to tax collectors. I've described before who tax collectors are, right? They're Jews working for the Romans. And they contract out. They say to the Romans, you see, I can get you $400,000 from this territory here in taxes if you give me the right. And they say, all right. Now they know that they're going to get $300,000. And he's going to keep the other. They know that. Because they're not going to pay him. So that's why they're so detested. Because they're so... they're working for the occupation forces. And they're stealing in that sense. So they're not, you know, popular people. That's why that other story, our Lord always uses them as the most crooked and despised people among the people, right? And then he tells stories about them. Like the tax collector who was way in the back of the temple, remember? And the Pharisee was rather satisfied with himself, is telling God all the great things he does. And the tax collector is way in the back. And he beats his breast. And he says, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that one, the Lord said, went home justified, at rights with God. So if anybody wants to be at rights with God, how do you do it? Well, you just don't say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I mean, you got to mean it. But if you pray for that grace, then you know you're all right. And then we have this story, the creativity of our Lord Jesus Christ to tell us this story, you see. The man, I remember, I think I've told you this before. I was talking to two Muslim boys when I was over there in Israel. And I said, you know, Jesus told a story about two sons. And the younger one said, give me my inheritance, I want to leave. And one of those two boys said, his brother should have killed him on the spot. Imagine talking to your father that way. Now that, we don't even get shocked by that part of it. Like, we're so democratic or whatever we are. But those kids, his brother should have killed him right there on the spot. They do that more than we do most of the time. But I mean, imagine talking to your father that way. So this is a shock to his audience. The kid talked like that to his father, and he wants his inheritance to go off him. You know, in other words, I wish you were dead. So he doesn't start off in good shape, does he? And he goes away and squandered his heritage on a inheritance on a life of dissipation. And when he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So all his friends came to his help. No, no. Not these kind of friends. He hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to feed the pigs. Can you imagine a Jew feeding pigs on top of everything else? You see what a marvelous storyteller our Lord is? You know, mediating divine truth and trying to penetrate to us. So he was eating the pods. These are carob pods. Did you ever try one? They're ghastly. But that's all he's got. In other words, he's stealing a little bit from the pigs to live on. Finally, coming to his senses, as the way they translate it, which is not bad, he said, how many of the guys who just work for my father? They're not in the house, they're not servants. You know, like we used to have more of it, the young Hispanic guys out of work looking for a job, who would be in the big parking lots waiting for people to hire them, right? And the foreman would come along, all right, I'll take you, and you get in the back of the truck, we'll go. Well, that's what these guys were doing, see? My father's hired workers, not even the household servants, you see, have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, and he's got his speech all ready, and is quite correct. Father, I have sinned against heaven, that is against God, and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son because I wanted you to be dead so I could have your money. When he was still a long way off, now listen to the way the Lord is revealing the heart of the Father. He was still a long way off. So the father sat there on the porch saying, I wonder what this kid wants. No, he didn't. He got up and he ran to him. He ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. And his son starts the speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father doesn't listen to any of that. He says to the servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. And now he's going to invest him with total sonship. These are all the signs of a son. You see, the finest robe, a ring on his finger, that's family ring. He's back in the family. Sandals on his feet. Servants in the house never wore sandals. And take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Do you know that's what God the Father does every time somebody who's been away a long time goes to confession? There's another feast in heaven. This is the Father he's talking about, not just the imaginary Father in the story, but the Father. Why is this story here? Well, you know, it's Saturday. So I guess the fellows who, you know, were making up the reading said, well, you know, there might be some people trying to get to Mass on a Saturday who are working all week. And so we'll put this one there where they can hear it. You know, let everybody possible hear this parable. So I got my ideas of God. You got your ideas of God. They're probably just a prediction of who you think you are or anybody else is. Don't do that. God is mercy. God is mercy. So I know you know the rest. The older son been out in the field on his way back. He's a good, dutiful son, no doubt about that. And he asked the servants, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf. There's always, the farmers still do this, right? They keep a calf around and keep it all fattened up, and then when it's ready, they slaughter it, and they have the meat for a party or to put in the freezer, but I mean, so he slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So the brother became angry and refused to enter the house. His father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, look, all these years I served you and not once did I disobey your orders, and you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. I doubt that. But he's getting carried away, this fella. And do you see the jealousy? Where's the love? Where's the love? My brother is back. Yeah, let's have a party. But the Lord is trying to tell us, you see, and tell the scribes and Pharisees who the Father is. So he's telling a story about the Father's heart. So, but when your son returns, see, not your son, not, you know, nothing to do with me. You slaughtered the fattened calf. He said to him, my son, you are here with me always, and everything I have is yours. I gave him his already. But now we must celebrate, because your brother, he said, that son of yours, and he answers, your brother was dead and come back to life. He was lost and has to be found. And they went to the party. Now, you could spend months on this. You know, the delicacy, the insight, the power to mediate. You know, you could take this page out and rip it out and take it to you when you die, and show it to God the Father. Look, he said this about you. You know, and you're all right. You see, I was relying on that. What's that?
Will that work?
Well, unless it's complacency, yeah. I mean, I can sin all I want. God's a pushover. He's not a pushover. This kid repented. But it's a kind of a turning point in Lent. You know, we're doing penance, hopefully. We're fasting. We're giving away money. We're doing whatever we're doing, you see. And the church says, stop. If you think you're trying to impress God and earn heaven, forget it. Look who your Father is. Now, in that light, treat everybody else. Treat everybody else. Forgive. If somebody wants to be reconciled, have a party. Even if it's Lent, you can have a little party, you know? This text is so powerful. And it has changed so many hearts in the last two millennia. I don't deserve that kind of forgiveness. Absolutely right, you don't. But if it gets through to you that that's the way God is, then you can forgive others.